Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Across this land, both near and far, throughout the human race, within each beating heart, there is a dream whose time has come for us to claim our birthright, each and every one. Evil hands have intervened, controlling from the shadows, think they can't be seen. But we have eyes, see in the dark, to cast a light upon the madness we embark. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must be the masters of our destiny.
Welcome, welcome. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, coming to you live from the Vaccine Rights Studios in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Pleasure to have you with us this afternoon. We are at our new time for the first show. Previously Thursday afternoons and now Wednesday afternoon or evening, depending on what part of the U.S. you're in. And if you're in another part of the world, who knows what time of day it is, but 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesdays, our new time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. here on Freedomizer Radio and going out simulcasting to Homeopathy World Community Radio listening audience as well. And our new format, a one-hour show, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Mountain, and 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And we are a new format as a one-hour show, 6 o'clock Eastern Time every Wednesday, and I'll be doing that except for the last Wednesday of the month. And on the last Wednesday of the month, this time slot will be filled with my former co-host, Homeopathy World Community founder, Deb Ruck. And we are not splitting up due to any problem on our end. In fact, we are very, very much still working together and mutually supportive and so forth. It was purely logistics, but I'll be doing most of the monthly hours here, and Debbie will be finishing up the last Wednesday in each month at this time, talking to you about vaccine issues, homeopathy, corruption in government, and other related issues, all favorite topics here at Freedomizer Radio and we hope as well at Homeopathy World Community Radio. Today, I wanted to start with some information that I got clarification just earlier today about. There has been talk and about action that has gone on in New York City. What we have having gone on recently and presently in New York City, we believe, is possibly unprecedented, at least in the specific form here. And what has happened is that the city of New York, not the state, but the city, of course, New York City is more populous than many states in the U.S., but nevertheless, a city has taken upon itself, the city health department, to mandate influenza vaccines for very young children in the daycare and preschool age, mandate flu vaccines for them. Now, there was a lot of information running around about this, and frankly, lack of clarity, at least on my part, and I suspect many other people's parts, about what exactly is going on, and are there exemptions, and are they crossing legal boundaries or not on this issue, that issue, the other issue. And so I wanted to bring some clarity to that, hopefully to people who are listening here. Now, if you're not in New York City, you might be thinking, well, I'm not in New York City, who cares, or maybe have only a passing interest. But folks, what goes on in this arena in one part of the country often spreads to other parts of the country. So I would say, just shooting from the hip here on this next point, but anybody in a large city anywhere in the U.S., Los Angeles, Miami, Detroit, Chicago, any large city in the U.S., I think, is a potential candidate to be next in line, and possibly cities of all shapes and sizes could be following suit and implementing mandatory flu shots for children. Now, this is part of a multi-tiered, multi-layered, aggressive flu vaccine agenda. The CDC, I don't know, recent months or a couple of years, approved of and began recommending flu shots for anybody 6 months and older in the United States. And there are multiple studies and information from multiple mainstream sources. This is not even something you have to go outside of the mainstream to the real truth. You can go right to multiple mainstream sources that say things to the effect of flu vaccines don't work. In fact, they are counterproductive. Information from the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, they said research showed that if you got a flu vaccine 2 years in a row, it could even lower your protection. Now, this is consistent with what I hear in my law practice from healthcare workers around the country, where they say, I never get the flu shot, I never get sick, or I rarely get sick. And it's always my coworkers who get the shot every year who end up getting sick and having to take time off. So this is what I hear anecdotally. But when you hear it, and I have worked with literally a couple hundred healthcare workers around the country, so I'm not saying I've heard this two times or five times or even 10 or 15 times. I've heard this dozens of times, probably 100, 150 times. Far more of my clients have one version or another of the story than clients of mine who don't. And when you hear something dozens of times over and over and over again, you reach the point where you say, you know, I realize that anecdotal reports do not equal scientific proof. And I'm not going to make that kind of a scientifically untenable leap here. But I will say, when you hear it over and over and over again, you have reason to consider that maybe there is some validity to this idea that flu vaccines lower your protection. Well, okay, so I've seen it anecdotally, but the University of Minnesota tells us they've got research data showing that this is, in fact, the case. Now, we had another peer review published study recently looking at children, preteen and teens, I believe. And there was something on the order of 3 to 4 times more upper respiratory infections in the children that got a flu shot than in the ones that didn't get a flu shot. So there's this myth floating around in health authorities who say you cannot get the flu from a flu vaccine. Well, let's clarify this word flu a little bit, because too, in common usage, the word flu refers to any illness with flu-like symptoms, cough, sneeze, maybe sick to your stomach, general aching and malaise, all these sort of general different symptoms that we associate, and they come in, you know, different variations, but any number of which or combination of which or the total collection, headaches and other things, you get sick with flu-like symptoms, you've got the flu. That's what most of us will say. It's what most doctors will say. They most of the time, they're not going to take a culture and say, well, wait a minute, is this an influenza virus? Or is it one of the other 200 viruses or more, according to the Cochrane collaboration, that are known to cause flu-like symptoms? So does the influenza vaccine, which only addresses maybe four different strains of more than 200 viruses that can cause flu-like symptoms, does the influenza vaccine cause influenza? That's a different question than do flu vaccines, which are really influenza vaccines, if you want to be technical, but do flu vaccines, can they cause the flu? Well, clearly, we can get hung up in technical definitions here, but clearly, influenza vaccines cause an increased incidence of, or certainly are directly associated with, an increase in flu-like illnesses. So whether you want to split hairs and say strict definition of the terms, flu vaccines don't cause the flu or not, in layman's terms, yes, flu vaccines cause the flu. But some influenza vaccines have live viruses in them. Now, they're what are called attenuated viruses that supposedly don't cause the flu or not. They would cause what you might call a subclinical infection, one that doesn't have any obvious overt symptoms. But it's a well-proven and demonstrated fact that live virus vaccines can and do sometimes cause the disease they're intended to prevent. There are documented instances, for example, of parents contracting paralytic polio from their baby's polio vaccine, where they give this baby or infant the oral polio vaccine. It's a liquid. It has live, supposedly attenuated, meaning beat down so that they're not as virulent, as effective as the wild polio, not as threatening or risky, but still a live virus so that it can actually cause a low-grade or subclinical infection, which is how you develop the antibodies and are supposedly immune. Documented instances of parents developing paralytic polio from their children's polio vaccines, from changing the kid's diaper or whatever and coming in contact with the virus. The country of India recently declared they have eliminated polio. But they have this other disease which is clinically indistinguishable from polio, meaning you can't tell the difference. And it only happens in or occurs in the vaccinated children. And it's worse than the wild polio virus, but it's not the wild polio virus, so they don't call it polio. Well, it's polio from the vaccine. There was something on the order of 48,000 children in the country who had severe illness that they're saying, well, it's not the wild polio virus, so it's not polio, so we don't have to count it as polio, but it's worse than polio. It's the same clinical symptoms as polio. And the only reason you couldn't that you could justify not calling it polio would be you did a culture and you determined that it was the vaccine strain and not the wild viral strain. Well, what's the point in eliminating polio if you're replacing it with something that's worse? And that's exactly what's gone on in India, but of course the health authorities are omitting the worst part, the problem they've caused that's worse than the disease they were trying to get rid of, and just claiming victory getting rid of the disease. So to say that you cannot catch the flu from a flu vaccine that has a live virus in it is ludicrous. To say that maybe it happens only a small percentage of the time, that might be a valid claim. But to say that it can't happen or doesn't happen is absurd. But welcome to mainstream America, which is something that is built on layers and layers of deception and deceit, as listeners to this show and Freedomizer Radio shows in general are probably already aware of to one degree or another. Let me get back to New York City. So I went online, and, you know, people pass around information or ask others for information sometimes when really it's very simple and more appropriate to go straight to the authoritative source. I tell people all the time, and that's a sensitive topic for me, but don't go to Facebook pages to learn about your rights. Don't go talk to don't go to anti-vaccine websites to learn about proper method of exercising an exemption. These folks all mean well, and I certainly mean no disrespect, but our legal system is complicated. It's multifaceted, multilayered. There is no one procedure for everybody who wants to get an exemption. There are different laws in 50 different states and several more U.S. territories for school exemptions. There are military regulations for military exemptions, both multi-branch and branch-specific regulations. There are immigration regulations for immigration waivers. There are laws for each different situation and context where vaccines are mandated and where exemptions are available, and the procedures can be different. Some situations don't even have a specific procedure spelled out, even though there is a legal right. I don't think I've ever seen a law that says, here's your right to an exemption for your newborn child from the hepatitis B vaccine. But if you know how to avoid it, if you know what your rights are and how to approach that, you can usually deal with that successfully. But boy, you better get all your ducks lined up in a row ahead of time, because people who have tried to deal with that on the spot have run into trouble on more than one occasion. So find out from an authoritative source what the facts are, what the reality is. New York City. So information from the city's health department, the Board of Health, they require now, as of last month, January 2014, influenza vaccines for children in daycare or preschool. Parents must vaccinate children between 6 months and 5 years old who attend city-regulated daycares and preschools. And you have to vaccinate annually. And this comes straight from the Board of Health's own website. Each child has to get at least one dose of the influenza vaccine between July 1st and December 31st. So if you get it on January 1st, it doesn't count. You're not in that July 1st to December 31st zone, which I find really disturbing, because what kids are in daycare on December 31st and January 1st? I guess it just depends on what day of the week New Year's falls on, but I find those hard dates problematic. Child care facilities must document the vaccines. They have to track whether all students have received their influenza shot or not. This is not, however, going to be enforced until 2015. The Health Department's Bureau of Child Care will enforce the requirement by educating child care staff during routine inspections. And then beginning in January of 2016, they'll start issuing notices of violation to facilities that fail to follow the mandate. So there's tons more information here. I just want to sort of get to some of the quick points here. They have all kinds of propaganda here about whether you can get sick from the flu shot, why should you get the shot, how long is it good for, do the vaccines work. Is the vaccine safe? And, of course, they say nothing about the fact that people are permanently disabled and killed by vaccines. In fact, the flu vaccine, there are more payouts with the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program for injury and death from flu vaccines than any other vaccine. Now, I don't think that necessarily means the flu vaccine is the least safe, because in this instance, I think it's because the flu vaccine is the most widely pushed and administered vaccine. Everybody on the planet from 6 months old till probably within the first year after you're dead is a candidate for the flu vaccine. But anyway, there's even information here whether it's reliable or not is another question. We're talking about are there preservatives in the vaccine? Does it have mercury? They acknowledge actually that there is a trace of mercury in some of the flu vaccines. Is there latex? Can my child be excluded from daycare if he or she doesn't get a flu vaccine? And the answer is yes. Children who have not provided proof of the influenza vaccine by the end of December may be excluded from daycare and preschool. It doesn't say they have to be, but it does say they may be. Can my child be exempted from receiving the influenza vaccine? Yes, with a valid medical or religious objection, you're not required to be vaccinated. So, folks, the Board of Health, City Board of Health's information doesn't go any further into that. I would have to assume tentatively that it means valid under state law. So, in New York City or in New York State, when you're exercising a religious exemption, you do have to state your beliefs. And under state law, the schools have the authority to scrutinize those exemptions to see if you apply. And in some states, having a doctor recommend a medical exemption is all you need and the story's over. But in other states, such as New York, the doctor makes the recommendation. The state can still disagree with that because, let's face it, nobody knows more about your child's health than some bureaucrat sitting in an office in the state capitol or in New York City who has never seen your child and knows nothing about your child's situation. But and sadly, this is the way the laws are set up in many states. To ensure, no doubt, maximum immunization rates, full compliance, maximum profits for the pharmaceutical industry, and maximum coverage for whatever other agendas may be involved in with the process of administering vaccines that clearly have no utility in terms of health, but do come with a risk of death or permanent disability. And just to sort of put the cap on this list of information from the Board of Health in New York City about the requirement for children's flu vaccines, the vaccines are available free or low cost by law. So nobody really has an excuse, at least in terms of cost, for not getting the vaccine. But where do you get the flu vaccine? Well, you have to go to your child's medical provider or find a clinic, and they've got information about how to do that. And so that's the deal. City-regulated daycares and child care centers, there are medical and religious exemptions. Enforcement starts next year in 2015. So this is what's going on. Now, there's some other pieces to this story, and somebody shared with me earlier today a letter from the City Department of Health to a school principal that's called a first warning letter. And this went out November of 2012, and I imagine this went out to principals and others, and schools, daycares, and so forth. But what they're saying in this letter is they're asserting that there's a goal of achieving a 98.8% immunization rate. They want New York City's school children, 98.8% of them, to be what they call appropriately immunized, up to date with immunizations. Now, when I look at this letter, and they refer to this 98.8% figure twice, two or three times, and they refer to it as a goal in one place, refer to it as trying to achieve compliance with this figure. But they're not really, here's a third time at least, that it's in a one-page letter, three times. They refer to it twice as a goal. And there's been a lot of chatter in the alternative vaccine community about, you know, how can they do that? How can they require 98.8% compliance? I don't see the language here as clearly stating a requirement that they get 98.8%. And I don't see anything, at least in this letter, talking about a penalty, because that would be a clear and blatant violation of parental constitutional rights. If you have a right to a religious exemption, a religious objection, then the city or the state, a government, could not put a cap on the number or percentage of those exemptions that could be allowed. If the exemption is there under law, anyone who qualifies it has to be allowed the exemption. They can't just say, oops, you're the 10th person at this school, we can only have 9 exemptions in this school. So I'm happy to say, at least tentatively, on the information I have at present, and who knows what information I may have down the road a bit here, but for the moment, I'm happy to say it doesn't look like there's a mandate. But now, whether this will be treated as a mandate is a separate question. And we can talk all day about technical realities, but there are also important practical realities. And one of the practical realities in this arena is that you tell people that you have a goal of 98.8%, then many of those people, principals or school owners and leaders, whatever their title might be in any given instance, many of them are going to interpret that as an obligation or pressure or something they have to strive to achieve. And if they feel pressured or obligated to meet that goal, that's going to predispose at least some of them to be inclined to want to be very strict about allowing exemptions. In fact, a lot of these people will see it as a game. Let's see who can get the highest percentage, you know, and the highest percentage wins. What do you win? I'm not sure. Maybe some, certainly the respect of the pharmaceutical industry. They'll, I'm sure, give you all kinds of awards. Nothing monetary, of course. That would defeat their purpose of maximizing their profits, but they'd probably give you a plaque or something. But anyway, there are going to be instances, more likely than not, of course this is speculation on my part, but it's very reasonable speculation. There are going to be instances in which people are rejecting or denying legitimate exemption requests because they're trying to meet this goal, this very unreasonable goal of 98.8%, because that's a 1.2% exemption rate. Well, the national average at the kindergarten level, according to the CDC, is 1.8% exemptions, actually a lower number than I expected, because historically over recent decades, the average has tended to be around 1.5 to 2%. And we have states around the country who have been claiming really, really high exemption rates, but you have to stop and ask, well, how are you counting, or what are you counting that you're calling exemptions? You know, and some of these exemption rates of 5, 6, 8, 9% are not the number of people who have claimed an exemption. They're really the number of people who are not fully up to date with all their immunizations. That's two very different groups of people or different ideas. So when you got to be careful when people throw out statistics, you have to ask, well, what exactly are they counting? How did they count? When did they count? What's the margin of error? All these different things. Statistics are treated like hard facts, and they are seldom, if ever, hard facts. They are often involve estimations, guesses, misleading terms or definitions, and so forth. You got to be real careful when people involve statistics. But I will say that my understanding at this point in time is that the 98.8% immunization goal is exactly that, a goal and not a legal requirement. But I do think it's going to come with some serious problems. But we'll just have to see how this plays out. And to the best of my knowledge, there is not another city that has, as a city, mandated flu vaccines for children. And it's just so sad to hear this. I've had clients who have had patients or coworkers who were severely injured, in some cases killed, by flu vaccines. This is not a game, folks. This is people's lives we're talking about. And there's research that shows that vitamin D supplements protect better than flu vaccines. So why would you risk injury or death from a vaccine and instead of taking a vitamin D supplement? The supplements cost a lot less, and vitamin D is protective not only against acute illnesses such as the flu and colds, but even chronic illness such as cancer. More and more just wonderful research coming out about a multitude of benefits from vitamin D supplements. So the only reason to get a flu vaccine is if you like playing Russian roulette with your health and life, if you want to risk being a martyr for the benefit of pharmaceutical CEOs and owners of pharmaceutical companies, which is not anything that's ever occurred to me as something to be or do or strive for. You're listening to Vaccines in Your Rights in the U.S. Acronym for that is VIRUS, V-Y-R-U-S, interestingly enough. I credit my former co-host, Debbie Bruck of Homeopathy World Community, with that one. Thank you, Debbie, for that. VIRUS, here on Freedomizer Radio and Homeopathy World Community Radio with vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, speaking to you from the Vaccine Rights Studios in Asheville, North Carolina. We've got to go to break here for a couple of minutes, but we'll be right back. Folks, stay with us. We got lots more to talk about today.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Semperma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
We are back with Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. I'm Vaccine Your Rights Attorney Alan Phillips, talking a lot about what's going on in New York City with children and influenza vaccines. The first half of the show, we're down to the last third or so. Time is flying by here. But I want to let you know that this is a show that is also a live call-in show, and you are welcome to call in to the show live at any time. So let me give you the number. If you don't have anything to write with and you're not good at memorizing 10-digit phone numbers, you can always go to the Freedomizer website. It's freedomizerradio.com. Freedomizerradio.com. There's two R's together there, the one at the end of Freedomizer and the beginning of radio, all run together. Freedomizerradio.com. Phone number, call-in number up at the top there. That number is area code 347-324-3704. That's 347-324-3704, and you're welcome to call in with your comments or questions about vaccine rights or vaccine news. And speaking of news, let's go and see a little bit about what's going on in the world today of vaccines. There is, from a recent article, a new whooping cough vaccine in development that will be a nasal spray. It is still a few years from being on the market at current pace, but has been suggested that if it does what they are seeing at this point and think it will do, that they are claiming it will be less toxic, less reactive, and more effective, that it will be a shot you get once and that's it for the rest of your life, or at most one booster, whereas right now, current vaccines, you've got to get a booster, who knows, every couple or few years, theoretically all through your life. Now, that assumes that, you know, vaccines are safe and effective, and I contend otherwise. But just to let you know what's going on there, you know, there's never anything wrong with vaccines, but they keep making changes in them to try and make them not be as horrible as they are in terms of low effectiveness or high risk of serious adverse events. So they'll never admit there's anything wrong. And this is real interesting. This is what happened about 100 years ago or so when the medical community finally said that we no longer need to keep doing bloodletting to treat fevers. You know, the classic way to treat a fever for many, many, many years, centuries probably. Someone gets a fever, you drain some blood. And that's supposed to make them better. Well, I guess if you drain enough blood, the body wouldn't be able to maintain the same level of heat. Maybe it actually helped reduce a fever while you're killing somebody from loss of blood at the same time. But the medical community never acknowledged that they were wrong to do bloodletting. What they actually said, and I've seen this in writing, and I wish I had the document in front of me or the source, and I just don't, but the claim was made that they no longer had to do bloodletting because the nature of disease had changed. See, they never did anything wrong. They didn't ever have anything wrong. The nature of disease changed. Well, maybe we'll be lucky at some point in the near future and the nature of disease will change and we'll no longer need to vaccinate. Well, you know, whatever lie it takes for them to stop injuring and killing innocent children and adults needlessly is fine with me over the short term. There's a lot of us who, once you dig beneath the surface and you see what's going on, and there are a lot of, let's face it, a lot of very wonderful people of high integrity who want to do the right thing, and they just happen to be misinformed. But there are others in the pharmaceutical industry, in the federal and state health departments, not all everyone, but there are people in those, many of those key decision-making positions who know exactly what's going on. They know that vaccines are causing serious injury and death. They know it's not necessary. They know there are other ways to deal with infectious disease that are more effective and less costly and don't injure and kill people. But for whatever reason or combination of reasons, they stay silent on that and continue to support and endorse a just very disturbing agenda here. Any number of reasons. So new whooping cough vaccine in the works. We can look to hear more about that in the future. There was an interesting, another interesting article. And by the way, I have two primary websites, vaccinerights.com, but another website. I hope to combine these into a single website in the coming weeks and months, but right now it's two separate websites. And the other website is called the Pandemic Response Project. And you can get there from the homepage of the vaccinerights.com website. But in any case, at the Pandemic Response Project website, there is a news page. And most of the news items that I talk about are items that come from articles that are linked at the Pandemic Response Project's news page. So you can go to that site directly, pandemicresponseproject.com, and click on the news link at the top right, or go to vaccinerights.com and look for Pandemic Response Project link in the middle of the homepage and take you to that website. That way, and go to the news page. So anyway, a recent article in Rhode Island where reporting that the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, says that a school requirement, a state health department regulation that would require flu immunizations for young children up to five, would keep erode families' ability to make healthcare decisions. They came out opposed to this. That they said that a regulation like that would be a serious intrusion on the ability of families to make their own healthcare decisions. This is really interesting because they do not appear, at least in the first part of the article, to be coming out with assertions about how the vaccine doesn't work, this isn't scientifically sound. And they get into a little bit of that later in the article, but the main issue here seems to be a rights issue. And this is a really important one because it's absurd as it is to, and disturbing as it is to, ignore research that says that flu vaccines don't work, can injure and kill you, and pretend like they're perfectly safe, and then point to claims about information saying how they're safe and effective when there's just loads of research from multiple sources, mainstream sources even, saying just the opposite. That's very disturbing. But a separate issue here has to do with rights. Parents have a constitutional right to the care, custody, and control of their children. It comes from the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment Due Process Clause. Parents are presumed to make decisions that are in the best interests of their children. And unless there's some kind of formal showing that you're not capable of doing that, not competent to make those decisions, then your decisions are presumed to be in the best interest of your children. And this is not me making up my own interpretation of the Constitution. This comes from U.S. Supreme Court cases. There's a string of court, U.S. Supreme Court cases over the last 100 years or so that have established and reestablished and reestablished that parents have a constitutional right to parent their children, and the state cannot intervene, the government may not intervene, unless there is harm or an imminent risk of harm. So nobody's at an imminent risk of harm for not getting a flu shot. It just doesn't make sense. So parents should have that decision. And the more parental decisions that the state assumes, the more the state owns your children and not you, the parent. So we should be very concerned about this, whether or not we think we should get our kids a flu shot. Who should be making that decision, you or the state? Now, you add to this all the information we keep talking about on this show and others in and among and throughout the alternative vaccine community that I keep repeating comes from mainstream sources, and it just doesn't make any sense medically or scientifically and raises all kinds of questions. Well, then what exactly are they doing here with the flu shot? Why are they doing it? What is it in these flu shots they want in everybody's body? Because they're requiring healthcare workers around the country to get flu shots or lose their job. We'll come back and talk about that on another show in more detail. Now they're trying to mandate it for little children. And this is just so disturbing. Something that has the carries a risk of injury and death, you want to mandate for little children. And it's just not that big of a deal. It's yes, there can be complications from the flu, but those are misrepresented and distorted and exaggerated considerably. There's no 100% safe route to go when you're talking about risking a disease, risking a vaccine. But there are, as I keep saying, vitamin D, homeoprophylaxis, using homeopathic remedies that are designed to help prevent illness. There are other things we can do that are more effective that don't come with a risk of injury and death. So why would you pick the one that costs more and comes with heavy, heavy risks? And nobody can tell you, by the way, what that risk is, what the percentage chance is. Of course, health authorities try and say vaccines, oh, it's rare that anybody has a serious problem. Well, go look at the vaccine injury compensation website, the government website, and you can see exactly how many vaccines or how many dollars are paid out each year for which vaccines. And the biggest payout these days is to flu vaccines. And in years past, recent years, the FDA and CDC and other organizations have said that only 1 to 10% of the serious adverse events ever even get reported. So we have no idea what the real scope of injury and death from flu vaccines is. So anybody who tells you a rare, you know, minuscule chance, no, they're either ignorant or lying. And I'm sorry if that seems offensive, but I got to call it like I see it. There is no data available to make that calculation. So it is a serious problem. Now, further in the same article, let's see, schools already, of course, require multiple vaccinations, and this one person says vaccines should be mandatory only when they reliably prevent the illness and when an unvaccinated child poses a high risk of infecting peers at school or daycare. The effectiveness of flu vaccines varies from year to year, and its protection is not lasting because they tell you got to get a shot every year, another one. So it's an annual vaccine that doesn't always work. Now, this is true. It's a mild way of stating it, but it's still true. So it's just not appropriate for the Department of Health to be saying this is a required vaccine. So I'm delighted to see somebody not straight out of the alternative vaccine or alternative health community taking positions. So whatever you might think of the ACLU in other respects, kudos to the Rhode Island chapter for speaking out and taking a stand for the rights of parents to make their own informed choices. Let's see, we've got a little less than 10 minutes left here. Here's another fascinating article. This comes from the Activist Post and from Catherine Frampovich, who is a journalist and has been for many, many years researching vaccines and other alternative health issues. She has many articles commonly out on this website, activistpost.com. This one, going into some details, what I was mentioning earlier, that the vaccine court, now, in the United States, we have actually have what are referred to loosely as vaccine courts, special courts who do nothing that do nothing else other than look at claims of vaccine injury and death and decide whether they get compensation. A vaccine court system. Vaccine court settlements mostly for flu vaccine damage. That's the title of this article. And something Big Pharma doesn't want you to know, but has been divulged in a report from the Department of Justice December of last year. The settlement report format lists three columns: vaccines, alleged injuries, and petition filing to settlement filing. How long those who were harmed waited to get a settlement after their petition that you file asking for compensation was filed. So during a three-month period, a total of 139 claims were settled, with 70 claims being compensated for damages. However, in slide three of the PowerPoint, 75 cases were compensated, and the enumerated listing, only seven of those are listed with no monetary value. So what are, why aren't, excuse me, all 75 settled claims listed? Apparently 69 claims were dismissed. Not everybody who claims to have a vaccine injury or death gets compensated. In fact, historically, only about a quarter of petitions filed end up getting any money. Who knows ultimately, but I strongly suspect that it's not because three-quarters of them were not genuine vaccine injuries or deaths, but rather the system has been designed, and many who deal with it regularly have come to this conclusion that it's really skewed in favor of the government, which means in favor of dismissing and not compensating cases. The system was supposedly originally designed to make it easier for people to get compensation than going through traditional state court torts, what are called tort systems. But it's turned out not to really be that. But anyway, most compensated cases in this last period of time they were talking about were for flu vaccine damages, especially due to Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a paralyzing condition. People get sometimes permanent paralysis from flu vaccines. 43 of the settled claims involve flu vaccines, which is 61% of the 70 settled claims. There were three HPV vaccine claims, one death attributed to the flu vaccine. I think we're going to see more of those, though. One death attributed to a multivalent vaccine in an infant. Boy, they have, what do they have now? One, two, three, four, five, at least five different vaccines, in some of the five or six vaccines in some of these what are called multivalent vaccines. Another death attributed to a different multivalent vaccine, a couple of shoulder injuries, and even a case of permanent legal blindness attributed to a flu vaccine. So during this three-month period, there were 202 claims filed, 31 for minors, 171 for adults, and several levels of appeal within the Vaccine Compensation Act have been set up. So I'm not going to try to go into any more detail right now. The full article is at the pandemicresponseproject.com website, but just wanted to let you know that in recent history, the majority of paid claims for vaccine injury and death have gone out to flu vaccines. I had a medical doctor as a client in recent months who claimed to have four patients that developed Guillain-Barré syndrome from a flu vaccine, and three of them died. This is not kid stuff we're talking about here. This is very serious. You can be permanently disabled or killed by vaccines. You can be permanently disabled or killed by flu vaccines. So let's see. We're coming in on the last couple of minutes here. I'm going to have to get out of the way a little bit here to allow room for the next host and the next show. But I want to thank you for listening. You've been listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, coming to you live Wednesday afternoons and evenings, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Mountain, and 3 p.m. Pacific Times. And here every Wednesday for 1 hour, except the last Wednesday of the month, which will be hosted by my wonderful friend and former co-host, Debbie Bruck of Homeopathy World Community Radio. And she will definitely carry the day with those. She gets into a lot of interesting topics. She will talk to you about vaccine issues, but she will also talk to you about homeopathy and other issues of concern in the healthcare arena. So you definitely want to stay tuned to us every Wednesday, and including that last Wednesday of the month with Debbie Bruck. So we'll see you next week. And let's see here if I can find can't find it here. I will play the music. And by the way, you can get more information about Homeopathy World Community Radio at homeopathyworldcommunity.com. It's all three of those words spelled out, run together. Homeopathy World Community.com. You can get all of my contact information at vaccinerights.com, vaccinerights.com. You can email me at attorney@vaccinerights.com. If you have questions about vaccine rights or want to share vaccine news that you have come across, I'd be glad to try to answer your questions live on the air or in emails. And if you send questions by email, try to get to those questions on the air as time allows. So look forward to hearing from you and to seeing you regularly here now at our new time, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Trying to talk my way down for another few seconds here to start the exit music, and then I will be signing off to allow the next host to sign on. Thank you for listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. on freedomizerradio.com and Homeopathy World Community Radio at homeopathyworldcommunity.com. See you next week, folks. How do we get out of this?
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom